The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 4, The Yoga of Self-Perfection. Chapter 11, The Perfection of Equality. Page 698. The very first necessity for spiritual perfection is a perfect equality. Perfection in the sense in which we use it in yoga means a growth out of a lower undivine into a higher divine nature. In terms of knowledge, it is a putting on the being of the higher self and a casting away of the darker, broken lower self, or a transforming of our imperfect state into the rounded, luminous fullness of our real and spiritual personality. In terms of devotion and adoration, it is a growing into a likeness of the nature or the law of the being of the divine, to be united with whom we aspire. For if there is not this likeness, this oneness of the law of the being, unity, between that transcending and universal and this individual spirit is not possible. The supreme divine nature is founded on equality. This affirmation is true of it whether we look on the supreme being as a pure, silent self and spirit, or as the divine master of cosmic existence. The pure self is equal, unmoved, the witness in an impartial peace of all the happenings and relations of cosmic existence. While it is not averse to them, aversion is not equality, nor, if that were the attitude of the self to cosmic existence, could the universe come at all into being or proceed upon its cycles. A detachment, the calm of an equal regard, a superiority to the reactions which trouble and are the disabling weakness of the soul involved in outward nature, are the very substance of the silent infinite's purity and the condition of its impartial assent and support to the many-sided movement of the universe. But in that power, too, of the supreme, which governs and develops these motions, the same equality is a basic condition. The master of things cannot be affected or troubled by the reactions of things. If he were, he would be subject to them, not master, not free to develop them according to his sovereign will and wisdom and according to the inner truth and necessity of what is behind their relations, but obliged rather to act according to the claim of temporary accident and phenomenon. The truth of all things is in the calm of their depths, not in the shifting, inconstant wave form on the surface. The supreme conscious being in his divine knowledge and will and love governs their evolution. To our ignorance, so often a cruel confusion and distraction from these depths, and is not troubled by the clamor of the surface. The divine nature does not share in our gropings and our passions. When we speak of the divine wrath or favor, or of God suffering in man, we are using a human language, which mistranslates the inner significance of the movement we characterize. We see something of the real truth of them when we rise out of the phenomenal mind into the heights of the spiritual being. For then we perceive that whether in the silence of self or in its action in the cosmos, the divine is always Satchidananda, an infinite existence, an infinite consciousness, and self-founded power of conscious being, an infinite bliss in all his existence. we ourselves begin to dwell in an equal light, strength, joy, the psychological rendering of the divine knowledge, will, and delight in self, and things, which are the active universal outpourings from those infinite sources. In the strength of that light, power, and joy, a secret self and spirit within us accepts and transforms always into food of its perfect experience the dual letters of the mind's transcript of life. And if there were not the hidden greater existence even now within us, we could not bear the pressure of the universal force or subsist in this great and dangerous world. A perfect equality of our spirit and nature is a means by which we can move back from the troubled and ignorant outer consciousness into this inner kingdom of heaven and possess the spirit's eternal kingdoms. Rajam Samridam, of greatness, joy, and peace. That self-elevation to the divine nature is the complete fruit and the whole occasion of the discipline of equality demanded from us by the self-perfecting aim in yoga. A perfect equality and peace of the soul is indispensable to change the whole substance of our being into substance of the self out of its present stuff of troubled mentality. It is equally indispensable if we aspire to replace our present confused and ignorant action by the self-possessed and luminous works of a free spirit governing its nature and in tune with universal being. A divine action, or even a perfect human action, is impossible if we have not equality of spirit and an equality in the motive forces of our nature. The divine is equal to all, an impartial sustainer of his universe, who views all with equal eyes, essenced to the law of developing being, which he has brought out of the depths of his existence, tolerates what has to be tolerated, depresses what has to be depressed, raises what has to be raised, creates, sustains, and destroys with a perfect and equal understanding of all causes and results and working out of the spiritual and pragmatic meaning of all phenomena. God does not create in obedience to any troubled passion of desire, or maintain and preserve through an attachment of partial preference, or destroy in a fury of wrath, disgust, or aversion. The divine deals with great and small, just and unjust, ignorant and wise, as the self of all who, deeply intimate and one with the being, leads all according to their nature and need with a perfect understanding, power, and justness of proportion. But through it all, he moves things according to his large aim in the cycles and draws the soul upward in the evolution through its apparent progress and retrogression towards the higher and ever higher development, which is the sense of the cosmic urge. The self-perfecting individual, who seeks to be one in will with the divine and make his nature an instrument of the divine purpose, must enlarge himself out of the egoistic and partial views and motives of the human ignorance and mold himself into an image of this supreme equality. This equal poise in action is especially necessary for the sadhaka of the integral yoga. First, he must acquire that equal assent and understanding which will respond to the law of the divine action without trying to impose on it a partial will and the violent claim of a personal aspiration. A wise impersonality, a quiescent equality, a universality which sees all things as the manifestations of the divine, the one existence, is not angry, troubled, impatient with the way of things, or on the other hand, excited, overeager and precipitate, but sees that the law must be obeyed and the pace of time respected, observes and understands with sympathy the actuality of things and beings, but looks also behind the present appearance to their inner significances and forward to the unrolling of their divine possibilities, is the first thing demanded of those who would do works as the perfect instruments of the divine. But this impersonal acquiescence is only the basis. Man is the instrument of an evolution which wears at first the mask of a struggle, but grows more and more into its truer and deeper sense of a constant wise adjustment, and must take on in a rising scale the deepest truth and significance, now only underlying the adjustment and struggle, of a universal harmony. The perfected human soul must always be an instrument for the hastening of the ways of this evolution. For that a divine power acting with the royalty of the divine will in it must be in whatever degree present in the nature. But to be accomplished and permanent, steadfast in action, truly divine, it has to proceed on the basis of a spiritual equality, a calm, impersonal and equal self-identification with all beings, an understanding of all energies. The divine acts with a mighty power in the myriad workings of the universe, but with the supporting light and force of an imperturbable oneness, freedom, and peace. That must be the type of the perfected soul's divine works. And equality is the condition of the being which makes possible this changed spirit in the action. But even a human perfection cannot dispense with equality as one of its chief elements, and even its essential atmosphere. The aim of a human perfection must include, if it is to deserve the name, two things: self-mastery and a mastery of the surroundings. It must seek for them in the greatest degree of these powers, which is at all attainable by our human nature. Man's urge of self-perfection is to be, in the ancient language, Svarat and Samrat, self-ruler and king. But to be self-ruler is not possible for him if he is subject to the attack of the lower nature, to the turbulence of grief and joy, to the violent touches of pleasure and pain, to the tumult of his emotions and passions, to the bondage of his personal likings and dislikings, to the strong chains of desire and attachment, to the narrowness of a personal and emotionally preferential judgment and opinion, to all the hundred touches of his egoism and its pursuing stamp on his thought, feeling, and action. All these things are the slavery to the lower self, which the greater I in man must put under his feet if he is to be king of his own nature. To surmount them is the condition of self-rule. But of that surmounting, again, Equality is the condition and the essence of the movement. To be quite free from all these things, if possible, or at least to be master of and superior to them, is equality. Father, one who is not self-ruler, cannot be master of his surroundings. The knowledge, the will, the harmony which is necessary for this outward mastery can come only as a crown of the inward conquest. It belongs to the self-possessing soul and mind which follows, with a disinterested equality, the truth, the right, the universal largeness to which alone this mastery is possible, following always the great ideal they present to our imperfection while it understands and makes a full allowance too for all that seems to conflict with them and stand in the way of their manifestation. This rule is true even on the levels of our actual human mentality, where we can only get a limited perfection. But the ideal of yoga takes up this aim of Swaraja and Samraja and puts it on the larger spiritual basis. There it gets its full power, opens to the divine degrees of the spirit. For it is by oneness with the infinite, by a spiritual power acting upon finite things, that some highest integral perfection of our being and nature finds its own native foundation. Pausing near the end of page 702. To be continued in the next recording.